York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays, transcribed with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Dennis King in St. Helena by R.C. Sheriff and Gene DeCassilis. Mr. Chapman.
Good evening. Our best play has several distinctions. For one thing, it is an excellent biographical drama, and the modern theater doesn't get many of these. For another, its co-author, R.C. Sheriff, is the man who wrote the unforgettable play of the First World War, Journey's End. But perhaps the chief distinction of St. Helena is the fact that it was rescued, literally rescued, by Sir Winston Churchill. None of London's commercial managers would risk a production of this story of Napoleon in exile, so it was put on at a rather obscure and out-of-the-way theater called the Old Vic. It languished for a week or so, and then Winston Churchill wrote a letter to the Times of London, saying that here was a fine drama that was being neglected by intelligent playgoers. His letter was enough to turn the tide. A failure at the Old Vic became a success in London's West End, and soon afterward it was brought to Broadway, where it shared best play honors with such works as High Tor, You Can't Take It With You, and The Women. Our Napoleon this evening is Dennis King. He is being brought by his British captors to Longwood House on the island of St. Helena. And already some of his staff have arrived there, including a loyal follower, Count Montalon.
In the southern waters of the Atlantic Ocean, reaching well within the tropic zone, is a small island of volcanic origin called St. Helena. In December of 1815, St. Helena was preparing to receive the most distinguished guest ever to arrive there, a guest destined never to leave, His Majesty the Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte, now at the end of his brilliant career, held in detention by the British government. On the bleak, rocky island, we were quartered on a small, modest estate called Longwood, shockingly small and shockingly modest, as His Majesty's aides, General Gourgaud, General Bertrand, and I discovered the day we arrived.
I tell you, it's a hovel. It's damp. I won't live in it.
Then you can have the room overlooking the courtyard. It's been specially got ready for you, Gourgaud.
That one reeks of horses.
I thought you liked horses.
Well, it's no good making things more difficult, Gourgaud. The room shelters. It's got a very good floor.
It's not the floor. It's the smell I'm talking about.
Well, sleep in a tent, then. We've all got to make the best of things for the time being.
That's what I keep saying, but everybody's making the best of things at my expense.
You've done no more than anybody else.
I who saved His Majesty from the Cossacks at Brienne?
Oh,
I have
those Cossacks again.
Yes. Oh, you can afford to be satisfied. You got here first and took the best room.
I'm sure my wife will sleep in the tent if General Gourgaud wants her room.
Gentlemen, please, let's not quarrel. The Emperor may be here any moment. Meanwhile, we can arrange the table. When Madame Bertrand and I are dining, Madame will sit here, and I will sit here.
I'm to sit on the floor, I suppose.
You will sit here, Gourgaud.
Montalon knows I'm senior to him in the military household.
Oh, nonsense.
What? I'll instruct you where guests are to sit when necessary. Monsieur Las Casas will sit here.
You'll never keep Las Casas down that end.
And you won't keep me from my rightful place. I ought to sit at the...
Gentlemen, the Emperor...
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very well. Everything seems quite well arranged. It's not the Tuileries, but we'll manage. This cast?
It seems very small, Your Majesty.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I like small rooms.
The Admiral has asked me to show Your Majesty plans for the new house.
New house? Don't be absurd. It would take the English 6 months to build a new house. We shall all be back in Europe then.
What shall I do with the plans then?
Send them back. Send them back. Let's be on that window, Lescar.
They've given you an excellent view of the harbor, Your Majesty.
Who are those men? Out there against that fence.
Oh, sentries, Your Majesty. The Admiral has ordered the house to be surrounded at dusk by sentries at 40 paces interval.
So the sentries are to surround the house at dusk, are they?
I feel as though I'm watching savages from the South Sea Islands dancing round a prisoner they're about to devour.
The Admiral's even got sentries on the goat paths in the mountains.
He flatters me. When are we to see the last of that imbecile?
The new governor, Sir Hudson Lowe, is reported to have sailed from England, Your Majesty.
Well, let's hope he has a quick voyage. At least he's a soldier. This Admiral is nothing but a shark. What's that, Bertrand?
An invitation to dine with the Admiral at Plantation House tomorrow night, sir.
Who's it for?
For Your Majesty.
Let me see. Admiral Sir George Coburn requests the pleasure of General Bonaparte. General Bonaparte. Send this car to General Bonaparte. The last news I had of him dates from the battlefields of the pyramids. In the future, bring me no communication unless it is properly addressed to the Emperor.
We retired early that first night at Longwood and would have slept well into the morning of the following day had we not known that the Emperor would expect each of us to report to him early in the day. He started the morning in conference with Cipriani, his servant and friend who had been with him since Elba.
Where does the water come from here, Cipriani?
It's brought in pipes from Jamestown, Your Majesty.
Well, much too hard for shaving. We must arrange to have rainwater collected.
Very good, sir.
See who that is, Cipriani.
General Gurgo, sir.
Ah, Gurgo. Come in, come in. You may go, Cipriani.
Good morning, sir.
What's the matter, Gurgo?
Nothing, Your Majesty.
You look sad.
I've reason to be. I slept badly.
Well, we'll find you a little wife. That's what you need, a nice little wife.
And in the meantime, it's not easy to lead this monastic existence, sir. It's not to be wondered at that I'm ill and out of sorts. I should be happy if you still needed me to work on your memoirs. But you dictate to Las Cas now. Las Cas receives every favor. Las Cas is always with you.
Gurgo, I want Las Cas to be your friend.
He's too much of a hypocrite for me. Oh, Your Majesty must forgive me, but those are my feelings.
I am not interested in your feelings. I don't read hearts. I hear words, that's all.
You can look cheerful no matter how you feel. Don't you think that sometimes when I wake up in the night, I have my bad moments too? When I think of what I was and what I am now, a soldier must have a soul of marble, Gurgo. I could listen to the news of the death of my wife or my son without a change of feature. Later, the feelings of the man burst forth, but only when I am alone with myself.
Your Majesty knows I would blow my brains out for you.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. In the meantime, I want you all to live as a family, now happily. Oh, come in, Montalon. Come in. How's your wife this morning?
Worried, sir. The little girl seems feverish.
Teeth, that's all it is, teeth. I told her so last night. Ah, there are the horses now. Now, gentlemen, this morning we take the road to Hut's Gate, then the mountain road round the Punch Bowl. We can plan a different ride for each day of the week.
Your Majesty, I should tell you, we will not be riding alone.
Why not?
Instructions from the Admiral reached Count Bertrand last night. An English officer is to accompany Your Majesty when he goes riding outside the Longwood boundaries.
So that's the latest insult. Very well. We shall remain indoors.
But, sir...
Bring the horses back! Let the Englishman follow his own shadow.
We remain indoors.
Yes, sir.
Well, they're determined to force on me a martyr's crown of thorns. Let them do it. Well, Montalon, if we can't ride, we can read and write. There's plenty to do indoors. A memoir. The battle. We'll spend our time like this. From 9 till 12, we'll read and work at our English. From 4 till 8, we'll work on the campaigns of 1812, 1314. 8 till 10, dinner and conversation. 10 till midnight, we'll spend in the library. Yes, Montalon, we must
reorganize our life.
Now it is April of 1816. It is nearly 2 in the afternoon. Lunch is over, and the party is gathered in the library taking coffee.
Well, when are we going to see Madame Bertrand again?
Not for some little while, Your Majesty.
I don't know what's the matter with you modern women. Madame Montalon, would you believe that my mother was running about on the Corsican hills a few days before I was born?
Your mother had 7 children, sir. It had become second habit.
When are you going to follow Madame Bertrand's example? Every household should have 6 children.
6, sir?
Yes. You've got to allow for, say, 3 to die and 3 to live. That's 2 to replace the father and mother. And 1 reserve for accidents. Well, guests are arriving. I'm almost looking forward to see this new governor. I never want to see the Admiral again. He's done everything in his power to humiliate us. Bertrand, you'll meet him at the door. I'll receive him in the study.
May I present the new governor, Sir Hudson Lowe and Admiral George Cockburn. General Marquis de Montholon.
Your Excellency.
Madame Montholon.
Your Excellency.
Madame.
Comte de Las Casses.
Your Excellency.
General Baron Gouraud. I've advised the Emperor that you are waiting upon him.
Did Your Excellency enjoy a good voyage?
Slow, I'm afraid. We had good weather, but only a slight wind. We were 66 days at sea.
We were 64. We had the advantage of you, Sir Hudson.
You find all long voyages average very close to the same number of days.